from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo, and we begin with a mystery. San Diego border activist Hugo Castro disappeared for nearly 5 days outside of Mexico City. He was found bloody and bruised, apparently beaten. Now Mexico's attorney general is investigating. KPBS reporter Jean Guerrero joins us now. Good morning, Jean.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Hugo and why he was in Mexico City to begin with.
So Hugo works for Border Angels. They are an advocacy group based out of San Diego for immigrants. They leave water out in the desert for migrants who may be in danger of dying of thirst. And he was on his way to southern Mexico to raise awareness about some of the dangers that they encounter when they're making the journey through Mexico. And he was taking buses and taxis to get down there when all of a sudden there was this Facebook Live post in which he was begging for help, saying that he was being followed, and all of a sudden he just disappeared for several days.
And actually, we have a bit of that Facebook Live video. We're going to play it right now.
Hey, necesito ayuda. Estoy aquí.
I need help. I'm here. I have very little money. Nobody will take my dollars. I was attacked by a group of criminals. I'm here, just past the road to Puebla. Can somebody come get me?
So there we see he's very concerned, Hugo Castro. Do we have any idea of the people who followed him? Were they just regular Mexico City criminals? Do we have any idea of who these people were?
People close to Castro, including his partner, they believe that he was being followed because of his advocacy work to protect migrants. And in fact, Castro had received multiple death threats recently. I think a lot of people in the U.S. don't realize that migrants are one of the main sources of profit for drug cartels in Mexico, who have in recent years largely diversified into human trafficking. And he had received death threats saying that he was going to be killed for interfering with the work of the cartels through his advocacy group. We don't know for a fact that those threats were related to what was happening to him when he appeared on Facebook Live.
Jean Guerrero covering the border for KPBS. Outstanding reporting on this issue. Thanks so much for joining us, Jean.
Thank you.
Wildfires are part of life in the West. And part of that experience for the thousands of federal firefighters is worrying about getting injured on the job. Because if their job gets them sick, advocates say it's too difficult for them to get disability benefits. KQED's Ted Goldberg reports a new effort to change that begins today.
Say you're a firefighter for the U.S. Forest Service, or the Department of Defense, or the Bureau of Land Management. If you get cancer, heart disease, or lung disease, and you think you got one of those illnesses on the job, you have to pinpoint the actual incident that got you sick. The burden is not as high for many local and state firefighters. This afternoon, Central Coast Congressman Salud Carbajal plans to announce legislation to make it easier for federal employees who battle fires to get disability benefits.
They do the same job in protecting our facilities, our public safety, but yet they're not afforded the same benefits. And they are currently treated as second-class firefighters.
Advocates for federal firefighters have lobbied for years to make the change.
We're asking simply for parity of what all the firefighters in California have.
That's Michael Massoni with the California Professional Firefighters.
It takes the burden away from somebody who's sick and fighting an occupational illness and also trying to fight their employer as well for pay benefits.
Similar legislation has failed in Congress in the past amid opposition from federal officials who question the link between firefighting and cancer. For the California Report, I'm Ted Goldberg.
We're going to go now to Fresno, where we're learning more about the three men killed in Tuesday's shooting. Police have called it a hate crime and say the African-American suspect targeted white men. Central Valley reporter Vanessa Roncagno reports.
Zachary Randles was 34 and had a wife and two young children. He worked for PG&E and was on his first ride-along with another employee when the suspected shooter, Corey Ali Mohammed, came up to the truck and started shooting. According to police, when Mohammed noticed the driver was Latino, he fired on Randles, a white man. Mark Gassett was 37 and had two sons. Gassett was carrying groceries home from the Catholic Charities food pantry when Mohammed shot him, police said. They say the shooter then stood over Gassett and fired two more rounds as he lay on the ground. David Martin Jackson was 58. Police said Mohammed chased Jackson before shooting him twice. Police Chief Jerry Dyer said Mohammed was unusually cooperative. He described him as coherent, but detached.
Corey Muhammad's a very calloused individual. As he spoke about the shootings and shooting individuals, he did so in a very callous manner. In fact, multiple times laughed.
At a memorial near the site of the shootings, people came by with flowers and votives. They said prayers for the victims and talked in low tones about how senseless it all was. Regina Collins was paying her respects. She said she spends a lot of time in the neighborhood around Catholic Charities, so this really shook her up.
I have four little ones. I mean, we even come here and pick up food sometimes when we were in need of it. So, I mean, it could have been us.
Nick Chapman was standing near Collins, reminiscing about his childhood friend, Mark Gassett.
We used to talk about cars. You know, he used to have a Monte Carlo two-door with the vinyl top, and it was like a yellow cream color, and I loved that car, man. We used to cruise in that thing, like, you know, so his friends are really going to miss him.
For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno in Fresno.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering online financial tools to manage and track accounts from investments to retirement planning. Personal Capital, serving over 1 million people at personalcapital.com. Barracuda Networks, cloud-ready firewalls engineered for today's next-generation business networks. Learn more at barracuda.com/cloud-ready. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Right before the election, we told you how San Diego County Congressman, a Republican, Daryl Issa, seemingly embraced President Obama after 8 years of disparaging him. Issa squeaked out a 2,000-vote victory in a district that is becoming more Democratic. And since that razor-thin win, Issa has apparently found the politics of moderation. The LA Times' Sarah Weyer has a great profile of Dara Issa's political change. You can find a link to it on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. And that's the California Report for Thursday, April 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.